Terry Savage is here, the syndicated financial columnist, terrysavage.com, with Medicare on her mind. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and I brought in reinforcements. I think you're going to like this. Last week, we talked about my latest column. It's up at terrysavage.com, talking about this is currently open enrollment, and you're seeing a barrage of radio commercials and television commercials. Oh, you may qualify for Medicare Part C, or we could save you so much money. We can even put money back in your Social Security check. Are you getting this, or vision and dental and all this? Join our plan. It's Medicare Part C. Not really. It's called Medicare Advantage. It's managed care. And it looks very inexpensive at the beginning, and it works until you get sick. So I talked about that last week, and I got a very disturbing email from one of our listeners saying, Terry, you're so elitist. The fact is, we can't all afford to have traditional Medicare plus a supplement, Medicare, a couple hundred dollars taken out of your monthly Social Security check and your supplement. We can't afford that. We have to take Medicare Advantage. And I wrote back and said, wait, Medicare Advantage, if you're well, is fine, but if you're sick, it could be more costly than anything because you're obligated to pay up to $8,300 in costs, even if you go in their network, and $12,000 in costs if you go out of network. And lo and behold, my friend, Diane Archer, sent out a bulletin about all the traps in Medicare Advantage. I'll let you introduce Diane because I asked her if she'd come on and deal with this today.
Yeah, so let's say hello to Diane Archer, founder and president of Just Care USA, a senior advisor on Medicare and Social Security works. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the show. So tell us what you do very quickly. Terry sort of described your expertise, but just give us your elevator pitch.
Yeah, basically for the last 35 years, I've been helping people navigate Medicare and trying in Congress and with the administration to improve the Medicare program, particularly for people in Medicare Advantage who are often, as Terry has already highlighted, not getting the care they need or being forced to pay way more than they can afford to pay to get critical care.
Well, last week, Terry told us about Part A and B and so forth. Is Medicare Advantage something you must sign up for? Does everybody absolutely sign up for that?
I think a lot of people are misled into signing up for Medicare Advantage, believing that it will save them money when, in fact, when they get sick, and insurance is about protecting you when you get sick, they end up having to pay too often thousands and thousands of dollars more than they would pay if they enrolled in the traditional Medicare program, which is administered directly by the federal government. The problem with Medicare Advantage is that they are paid, that corporate health insurers are paid in a way that incentivizes them to delay and deny needed care. They profit more the less care that they give you.
Well, calling it Medicare Advantage sounds like it's Medicare. It's part of the Medicare program. How is that distinguished from the traditional Medicare that you're comparing it to?
Great question. The big difference, the fundamental difference, is that with traditional Medicare, the government pays for the care you need from doctors and hospitals across the country and defers to your treating physician's opinion about the care you need. With Medicare Advantage, corporate health insurers are paid a flat fee for your care to deliver what are supposed to be Medicare benefits, but they can delay and deny care and too often do inappropriately because they make a lot more money the more care they deny.
Is Medicare Advantage best for somebody? Are there circumstances under which it would be a good idea?
I think in an ideal world, there are good Medicare Advantage plans and then there are bad ones. And so in an ideal world, you would know which ones would not deny you care and you could select among those. But in the world we live in, what we know is that there are a lot of Medicare Advantage plans that are bad actors that are limiting your choice of doctors and hospitals and keeping you from seeing the doctors you need to see.
Sure.
Or inappropriately delaying and denying care or charging you thousands of dollars out of pocket for your care that you can't afford. And since you don't know which are the bad guys and which are the good guys, you're taking a big gamble when you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan.
Well, Terry, I'd like to see a list of, well, somebody should rank them.
You know? Well, Diane, go on and explain that all those star ratings for these plans at Medicare.gov. Well, let me just give you, Diane's pointed out in her recent report that Medicare plans, Advantage plans, the Health and Human Services said that last year they denied 18% of payment claims wrongly. That another report, in Diane quotes, it's insurers denied over 2 million prior authorization requests in 2021. Your doctor says you need a brain scan or you need this heart scan. And they say, nah, no, you don't. And they denied it. The rate of denials is tripled since 2019, bearing out the fact that these companies, private companies that run Medicare Advantage, make money to pay for the commercials, by the way, when they deny you treatment.
Well, how do they have the right to intervene in the decision and I are making? Diane?
Well, they claim that their interventions are, you know, designed to do well for their enrollees. But the reality is that they're allowed to authorize your care before you get it, which means that they can second-guess your treating physicians and delay and deny your access to care. They're also allowed to decide which doctors and hospitals and rehab facilities that you're allowed to go to. And many of them, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, for example, don't let you go to cancer centers of excellence and other high-quality specialists that you'd need to go to or want to go to if you got really sick.
Terry Savage on Wednesdays. As always, in the studio today, sometimes on the phone. On the phone is also Diane Archer. She is the founder and president of Just Care USA, a senior advisor on Medicare and Social Security. And Diane was with us in the last segment, Terry, just giving us some thoughts about Medicare Advantage. Neither of you sound like you're great proponents of this.
Well, Pete told me there are a slew of you on the line calling in saying, I love my Medicare Advantage program. I get to see my doctors and so forth. And my questions, and I'm going to leave it to Diane to respond, but my questions to you would be, did you get sick yet? Did you really have a serious condition? I mean, really serious, that went on where you wanted to see a specialist or something? Did they allow you? Did you? What did you have to pay in excess costs last year? It works beautifully until it doesn't. Typically, the until it doesn't is when you get sick and you want to see a specialist out of network. Until it doesn't is until they cut reimbursements to doctors so that your favorite doctor leaves the plan. And Diane had a comment on how to choose one. So she's the real pro. Let me turn it over to you, Diane.
Yeah, let me just say, on top of everything you've just said, Terry, that there could be a couple of good ones out there, even maybe more than that, but there are a lot of bad ones. One study found that if the government canceled contracts with the 5% that are worst performing, it would save 10,000 lives a year. So it's a real gamble picking a plan. And we were talking a little bit about the star ratings, you know, 5-star, 4-star that the government gives Medicare Advantage plans. Well, the truth is you should absolutely avoid the 1, 2, and 3-star plans for sure. But the 4- and 5-star plans could also be ones that are really bad actors, that have high denial rates, that have high delay rates, that have high disenrollment rates, that have high mortality rates, because those aren't factors that are considered when the government is giving them 4 and 5 stars. So again, you're just taking a big gamble with these plans. And if you get really sick, you're too often not able to see the doctors you need to see to be able to afford the out-of-pocket costs, which, as you said, Terry, can be as high as $8,300 for in-network care alone this year. It's going up again next year. Traditional Medicare, if you have Medigap, it's $2,500, and that covers all of your costs or almost all of your costs. So you can go to any doctor you want to go to or hospital or most any all year long without worry about the cost. And if you have Medicaid, what no one tells you, if you have Medicaid and Medicare, and there are 12 million people with Medicare and Medicaid, your out-of-pocket costs in traditional Medicare are virtually nothing. So it can be a lot more advantageous to be able to go to the doctors you need to see in traditional Medicare than in Medicare Advantage. And you can save money if you get really sick.
Well, it sounds like you're answering my next question. That is, if you, the two of you are saying that it's too much of a gamble for Medicare Advantage, then what do I do? Then what version of Medicare do I sign up for these expenses, this managed care? Where do I go? What do I sign up for?
No. The alternative to this
is what?
Is Medicare, traditional Medicare.
Right.
Part B, which comes out of your Social Security check, and it's maybe more than a couple $100s, depending on your earnings, and a supplement, which you typically want to get the best, most coverage when you sign up. Part G for great. That's how you remember it. In the old days, it was Part F, but they don't offer that anymore. And any one of the providers of Part G supplement will do just fine, and Part D for drugs. Now, I know.
Terry, are you saying Part B plus Part G for great?
No, Part G supplement
is what I will get instead of Medicare Advantage.
Yes, exactly. You have to have all those parts, and you add them up separately, and you think, oh my goodness, this could be $300 a month. But suppose, so that's like maybe $4,000 a year, $3,600, $4,000 that you pay in monthly premiums. But then you're pretty well covered, as Diane pointed out. With Medicare Advantage, it may be a zero monthly premium. They may say, gee, you were having Medicare Part B taken out of your Social Security check. You aren't paying for that anymore. Your Social Security check will go up a little bit. And that's fine until you need the care. And then you may find yourself paying $8,300 a month out of a year out of pocket, more next year. And that would have been, oh, I should have been paying the Medicare Part B where I have my choice. And I know. And finally, people say you can switch.
Jump in,
Diane.
Actually, you have to pay the Part B if you're in Medicare Advantage. So you're paying that Part B premium whether you're in regular Medicare or Medicare Advantage.
Part D, drugs. Right.
No, Part B too. Part A, you pay the Part B premium if you're in Medicare Advantage.
Really?
Everybody.
Well, that's double dipping. I mean, why am I paying for B if I'm also paying for Advantage?
Usually you're paying a little extra for Advantage or zero extra for Advantage, but you have to pay for Part A, which is your intake coverage, and Part B, which is outpatient coverage, whether you're one or the other. Both of them you have to pay. The difference is that in traditional Medicare, if you don't have Medicaid or retiree coverage that picks up out-of-pocket costs, you should buy Medicare supplemental insurance that will cover virtually all your costs. That's Medicare Plan, Medicare Supplemental, Medigap, sometimes it's called Plan G. But even if you don't want to pay for that, you can buy a lower-cost Medicare Supplemental plan, which will have an out-of-pocket cap, and that will give you easy access to the doctors you want to see and good coverage for your care in a way that you won't necessarily get in Medicare Advantage, because there it's a gamble. And again, the incentive is for the insurer to deny you care, because for all the care it denies, it profits more.
Just a couple of quick messages from our listeners, ladies. 630 capital letters here. I agree with Terry and Diane! !630 says, had terrible denial of service with Medicare Advantage. Thank you for talking about it. But 630, a different listener says, it's a perfect plan. I am 73 and have been retired for 6 years. One of our listeners simply said this, though. So then who the heck allowed these Advantage programs to take advantage of people in the first place? Is there an easy answer to that one, Diane?
I think there's no easy answer. I think the theory was that the Medicare Advantage plans could manage care and reduce costs. And in practice, what we're seeing is this year alone, $140 billion in overpayments to these insurance companies because of the way they've been able to game the system, gouging taxpayers and eating deeply into the Medicare trust fund. So hugely much more expensive than traditional Medicare. And what the data is showing, the independent data, is poorer quality care. The Office of the Inspector General has said there are, quote unquote, widespread and persistent inappropriate delays and denials of care and coverage in Medicare Advantage plans. And other independent studies have shown poorer quality doctors and hospitals in Medicare Advantage plans. Not all of them, but again, it's a gamble. You don't know which ones are going to be good. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't navigate the differences because the information you would need to distinguish one Medicare Advantage plan, a good one from a bad one, is not available. It's just not available.
Tony had a question for the two of you. Tony, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
I listen, and I get the impression that these ladies are compensated by Big Brother or whoever cares.
100% not true, but what's your point, Tony?
I've had the illnesses that Terry was worried about. In every case, all I had to do was pay a copay. I never spent anywhere near what the supplement was. I took care of my parents, and they paid incredible amounts for their supplement, and they thought it was great. Everything was covered. And all I could say was, well, you paid it in advance on a monthly basis. When you're in an Advantage plan, the only time you pay is a copay, and you get to make the decision, is it worth it or not? If I'm not that sick, I'll stay home and I won't gripe. If I am sick, I pay the copay and everything else is covered. Every hospital, every doctor in the Chicagoland area, I have never had any trouble. It's just incredible how different the experience is from what these ladies are saying.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, Tony. Diane, what do you say about that?
What I've been saying, which is there can be good Medicare Advantage plans, and you've been very lucky, is what I say.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what his plan is. Hey, Tony, what plan are you using? What's the name?
Humana Gold.
Say it again.
Humana Gold.
Okay.
And Tony, what I would say here is that you've been doing well, as you say, up to now. I don't know what tomorrow will bring because the other reality with these Medicare Advantage plans is what they do now is not an indicator of how they'll treat you in a month or 2 months or 3 months.
But both of you understand that there are listeners that have that experience. Tony's not lying to us. That's his life. That's his reality.
Yeah, typically, John, first of all, Tony, you know me. I'm Terry Savage. For me, you get the Savage truth. Nobody pays me, so I'm just giving. And I seriously brought in reinforcements, the real expert, Diane Archer, who's been at this for a long, long time and a great resource. Look, it works until it doesn't. What's the until it doesn't? Until it doesn't is either I have such a serious condition and there's a great surgeon outside or I want to go to Mayo Clinic or wherever you might want to go, and you can't get it. It works until your doctor says a 4D MRI for the super duper something and the controller of the Medicare Advantage plan says, no, we aren't approving any of those 4D super Doppler super duper things. And you go, oh my goodness. It works until they start cutting reimbursements to the docs and hospitals, and they say, we're not going to take this anymore. Right now it works. I'm happy for you. It works while you're well.
That's Terry Savage. And Diane, we appreciate you joining us. I get the feeling this won't be the last time we ask you to join us on the radio, Diane.
I'm happy to be back whenever. And great job, Terry. Good to...
Thanks, Diane.
Diane Archer is the founder and president of Just Care, Just Care USA. More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago ranks high in home affordability, according to a new report. Online real estate marketplace Redfin ranked cities based on how much income a buyer needs to afford a medium-priced home. Chicago has the second lowest income needed among the 10 largest U.S. metropolitan areas. A Chicago buyer needs a household income of $91,400. Philadelphia has the lowest at about $75,000. Chicago's ranking comes despite declining affordability. It took 26% more income to buy a medium-priced home this year compared to last year. Chicago-based United Airlines is projecting a fourth-quarter profit that'll fall short of analyst expectations. It comes as the carrier faces pressure over suspended flights to Tel Aviv and higher jet fuel costs. The Israel-Hamas war could also have other unforeseen consequences for the airlines. United, like other carriers, has been hit with a more than 25% increase in jet fuel prices since June. The airline hasn't immediately been able to recover the higher costs through fare increases. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you. And the Beatles are introducing today's Business of Food feature. We are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's truck season. Put a Silverado in your toolbox. It's also deer season, which calls for... U.S. Dear Prudence. Get it? Not only are the roads filled with combines and tractors and trucks during harvest, it's also mating season for deer, and while they have the urge to merge, state traffic experts encourage you to avoid the urge to swerve.
In other words, don't veer for the deer.
That's Maria Castaneda of the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Because what could happen is if you swerve into another lane, you could hit another driver, or you could swerve so much that you could propel yourself off the road and into a ditch.
And if you can be thinking quickly enough when a deer jumps in front of your car,
you want to try your best to have the vehicle glance off the deer. In other words, you just slightly turn your wheel, but you don't want to head into the opposite lane.
There are lots of deer in and around Chicago. In fact, Cook County is number one in the state in the number of deer crashes.
There's a good portion of Cook County, you know, that does have a lot of deer population. So people who are driving in those areas really need to be a little extra cautious this time of year.
Last year, there were more than 14,000 crashes involving deer in Illinois. Of those, 629 people were injured, and four of the crashes resulted in driver or passenger fatalities. And for the deer, the crashes are very often fatal, and that's where the business of food comes in. Can that venison find its way into our freezers?
Yes.
Captain Joshua Moy oversees the Illinois Conservation Police in Chicago.
That deer can be collected by Illinois residents, just the same as you would a normal deer if you were to go deer hunting. It doesn't have to be the person involved in the accident. However, the person that's involved in the accident does have what we commonly refer to as first right of refusal.
And the Illinois Department of Natural Resources has a whole webpage dedicated to whether that deer meat can wind up on your table. On the food calendar, it's National Chocolate Cupcake Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry, before you walked in, we mentioned that mortgage rates hit 8%.
Yep, the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, 8%. That's because in the Treasury market, the Treasury yields have been climbing. Today, the 10-year Treasury, which is traded in the open market, got zillions of dollars, hit a new high at 4.98%. It's back down a little bit now. 6-month T-bills, 5.58%. I had some rollover this Monday, and I got the note, check your Treasury inbox. And sure enough, there was a message.
So, boy, the beginning of the year, all we talked about was Treasury bills, T-bills and I-bonds. The numbers on those are still good, aren't they?
Yep. Very well. Don't lump them in the same category. That's going to be a column we'll do in a week or two, or an item we'll talk about. T-bills are still terrific. You only get it for 6 months. But it looks like now, because of the strong economy and the Fed might not raise rates in next week or November 1st, but they may not start cutting. Looks like short-term rates will stay high for a while. Longer-term rates are moving higher, the strength of the economy. I-bonds, however, when they change November 1st, will get a new 6-month rate. That will likely be lower. And you remember you were going to hold them for 5 years to avoid the 3 months loss of interest penalty. But I bet we'll be doing a bunch of stories on, I got 9 point whatever that was a year and a half ago. And then the rate dropped as inflation has dropped. It's set every November and May based on inflation. It will likely drop. And we will all be faced, those of you who didn't think you were going to do it for the long term, with do I take the 3 months loss of interest and get my money out of there? That's going to be another story in itself. So I-bond rates will likely drop.
The math might work for somebody, though, on that.
The math might work to sell them, pay the taxes on the interest, lose the penalty interest, and then start with T-bills then at 5.5% for only 6 months. I don't know.
When they're appreciating at 9% and it's 5 years, then you get 9%.
No, you got that 9% for that 6-month segment.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Not for the year, but just for the 6 months.
For that 6 months.
And then the money continues to grow at the new
rate.
And what would the new rate be, do you think?
I've been talking to people at Treasury. They won't say yet, but I think it'll be lower than the
current. I guess so. But I mean, as long as it's above 5, I would stay put.
We'll see what the new rate is. We'll know on November 1st. Okay. Or maybe it'll leak the day before, but we'll be here talking about it.
Terry, we're out of time.
Thank you for letting me do that. I want to say one last thing. Thank you for letting me bring in Diane Archer. I didn't mean to upset you. This is the first year that more people are in Medicare Advantage than in traditional Medicare. It works when it works. I'm happy for you. I hope that 10 years from now, when perhaps I'm for sure not going to be sitting behind a mic, you're going, that worked for 10 more years. But if it doesn't work in the sense that you need care and you get put in a hospital and nobody will give you a test, you should know what you're paying for.
847 texted in to say, how dare anyone call Terry Savage an elitist! Exclamation point. All right.
I'm for you guys. I really am. All the time.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.